Indiana University Archives of Traditional Music, accession number 76-013-F. California, Hollywood. Interview of Hoagy Carmichael by John Steiner, 1969. Side A, a copy of EC 6316A.
We were talking, as I told you to, Itzy and
Paul Merks,
and Itzy brought up something that I thought I wanted to ask you about.
You want anything to drink?
No, thank you.
Shorty, thank you.
What do you have?
Bourbon? Ice?
Well, if I have ice.
If you don't have ice, I don't want it with ice.
I have Canadian Club and...
Canadian Club's fine.
Oh, I have Jack Daniel's.
Jack Daniel's, fine.
Which one do you want?
I wouldn't know the difference.
Jack Daniel's is
closer to bourbon. I wondered whether you had written anything for Bix in, say, the compositions that he had played, compositions of yours which he had played. Itzy said that on occasion he would write things and tell Bix, well, this is just a hole for you to fill, and I put in a couple notes so that so you could hold them in mind. He said Bix would do him the kindness of using a spot.
Say that again.
Itzy would write a few notes for Bix to finish up on.
If I would.
And I wondered if you ever had written anything for Bix.
Oh, I mean, he had. He had done that.
Yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. You remember Bix ever liking something you had written and therefore reproducing it closely?
Yes, I wrote one specific part for him in a record that we did for Victor with the big band, with all the boys, and in Rocking Chair. No, not in Rocking Chair. Yes, on the ending of one of Rocking Chair, a tune that we recorded, I wrote something specifically for Bix to play. And that I believe was the only time I ever, out of the two or three records we made, that I ever told him anything of what to do. Picture of the Duke and picture of Don Redman. Caricatures, beautiful caricatures that were made in them. They're around the corner. Well, now, what are we going to chat? What are we going to say then? I could mention that one thing about writing something for Bix, but who would try to write something for Bix? I can say this much, though, that I made a record for Coral Records some 10 years ago, a tune of mine called Old Man Harlem. And we had a big band, and I wrote a chorus for the big band, the whole thing. In the same vein, I thought Bix might have played a chorus of the same tune. And it worked out real good. All the musicians said, oh, my God, that does sound like Bix. And it was a big band playing Bix, the whole band playing Bix, as though he had written the orchestration or written the lead for the special chorus.
This is on Coral?
Really good, huh? Yeah, it was a Coral record.
We ought to hunt that up, because Chalice so often wrote a revision of a Bix chorus into the brass.
Yes,
That you have done it would be
it was an innovation, and it sounded like Bix. Well, I knew him so well, and I played a little cornet too, and I had the feel of what he might have played, you know. And I got a big kick out of it. And the musicians thought, said, hell yes, that sounds like Bix wrote the chorus. You know, I got a real boot out of it. Now, what should we talk about?
Well,
are we talking now?
Yeah, it's running now.
And we're talking
now. We'll take out the pieces. But the things you've said will make beautiful little introductions to some of this music. And you can imagine that 13 half hours of anything would get tedious unless it were presented with different shadows and different lights on it.
Did you get the bit about the old rocking chair?
Yes, I did.
That I did. See, that band was a great band. I don't know if you remember about it or not. But it was a combination of the finest musical names today, like Benny Goodman, the Dorseys, Joe Venuti, Cooper, Benny's brother playing bass. Who else of note besides Bix? I can't tell you them all. Arnold Brillhart. Well, in the records I made at that time for Victor, I used all these big names, including Tea Garden. Who else? I can't name them all. I had Red Norvo at times, and Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey. Well, on this particular record of Rockin' Chair, I needed a certain type of ending to finish it off so that Joe Venuti could come in and finish the record off with a couple or three little notes of his, and the two little phrases tied in together. Now, that's the only time I ever tried to write anything for Bix. I just said, Bix, go. And I said, what else could you say?
Right. Bix must have, at least he was exposed to your tunes. Now, to say that he liked your tunes, I can't say, because he probably didn't choose them.
I'll tell you about that. The most interesting thing I ever heard about Stardust, my writing Stardust, and it had become a hit. I'd never heard a word from Bix about the song. So finally, one day, very politely, he said, Hoagie, that tune you started us, that's a pretty good tune. Well, I felt so great that Bix would even tell me that my tune was a good tune, you know. It took a long time before he said it, too.
Well, you've shown, I think, unusual modesty about some of those tunes and saying that the inspiration was often a man or a phrase that the man played.
I know that Bix liked Riverboat Shuffle very much. See, I wrote that tune down in when I was in college at Bloomington, Indiana, and I had the Wolverines come down and play dances all that spring of 1923, I think it was. And I hired them and put them in various fraternity houses on weekends to play dances. And they were very appreciative, too, because they weren't working any place at the time. And we had a ball that spring at Indiana University, and we had midnight serenades with the Wolverines on a truck, and we'd go around all the sorority houses. And it was just a great spring. And I happened to write this tune, which the boys themselves named it, Riverboat Shuffle. They named it the day they recorded it, over at the Jeanette Studios in Richmond, Indiana. That's where the Jeanette company had their studios.
You had recorded it first?
No, I had just written it and showed it to the boys, and the boys sort of learned it by heart and went over to Richmond and recorded it, and they named it Riverboat Shuffle, which I thought was a great name. Well, I know Bix liked that tune, and he told me so.
Was it an accident that he didn't record Boneyard Shuffle, because that was a hit of the same proportions around Chicago and New York?
Well, Boneyard Shuffle came right after Riverboat Shuffle, and the boys weren't still around, the Wolverines. But Hitch's Happy Harmonists from Evansville were around, and they had a date to record it at Jeanette Studios. And they had a band similar to the Wolverines. Very fine band. They didn't have a clarinetist like Bix, but they had a nice combo, and it had the same beat and drive that the Wolverines had. And so they contacted me and said, hey, we need material. And I think I just sat down and wrote Boneyard Shuffle especially for that band and for that date. But in the meantime, I had written Washboard Blues. And when they heard Washboard Blues, they said, let's go for that too. So I made the arrangements, I wrote them out. Well, of course, I'm a bad musician about writing. I never could read or write, really, but I found out enough about writing to put some notes down. And so these were my arrangements. And the record, I think, was considered one of the modern things of its time. Paul Whiteman thought it was one of the modern things of his time.
Was it the influence of that record, or maybe Red Nichols later, that influenced Whiteman to record Watch For It?
I don't know. Well, it might have been both. Jimmy Dorsey told me that he and the boys all heard this record of Washboard Blues, and I think they showed it to Paul Whiteman, and he flipped his lid. Now, I don't know how it happened, whether it was the influence of Red Nichols or not. I know the Red Nichols made Boneyard Shuffle, and it was just a great recording, wonderful recording.
And you and Bix both appear on Washboard.
Yes, he plays in the little trio arrangement that Bill Chalice did, and that was my first singing try, and I was embarrassed to death. I thought it was the worst vocalizing I ever heard in my life, but everybody else said, well, it fits the idea. And I said, all right, it fits the idea, but if I can't sing any better than that, I'll quit.
You quit.
But I didn't quit. Now, later on, I started singing my natural voice, and it came through better. At that time, what I thought you had to do was croon. Everybody had the thought of crooning. Well, I was never a crooner. I had a sort of a big voice, you know, and I still have. And I have a big speaking voice. But here I was trying to croon. Trying to emanate, the redhead, Rudy Vallée. Oh, God, I wish he'd never come along, because everybody's trying to copy Rudy Vallée. If I'd never heard him, I'd have sang in my natural voice.
There's a lot of imitation in the music business, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Think how many began to imitate Bix. I'm sure that for a time he was the basic trumpet style.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
The large numbers.
It took them quite a few years, though, to really imitate him to any degree, and Bobby Hackett probably came the closest to imitating him.
I talked to Bobby on Friday night, and he preferred to deny that. He said, I don't think I sound like Bix. He said, my inspiration was Louis. Isn't that a surprise?
Yes, I don't think it's quite true. His phrasing, intonation, his choice of pattern notes,
yeah.
I put it,
yeah.
were very similar to Bix's choice.
The sophistication, the
very sophisticated, beautiful
alertness.
Stuff, beautiful stuff, not just jazzy stuff. And Bobby Hackett's chorus is on chorus on a record called Small Fry, thing that I wrote. I think it's one of the finest cornet gems ever recorded. I told Bobby that once, but I don't know whether he thought so or not, but I think so. It's a beautiful pattern. It's just like weaving something, you know, and it all comes out perfectly.
We want to hunt up that record. Do you remember what the label is? Would it be one of the Gleason things, or?
Oh, this is...
Or much earlier?
Actually, the record was recorded under the name of...
Dick Robertson.
No.
No?
No, Rollini.
Oh yes.
Rollini's band, and it was a good many years ago. I don't know whether it was on. No, it wouldn't have been on OK because
Decca. Blue Label Decca.
It probably was.
I'm trying to recall.
Probably was a Decca record
in the late thirties
or early forties. And I'm telling you, it was just great. That chorus. Now about Bix, you want me to speak about a couple of his records? I have two in mind. Maybe I have three in mind. First, I wish to speak of this beautiful tune called... We're going to have to do it over. I can't think of the tune.
Okay.
First, I want to speak about Bix's work in this beautiful tune and beautiful record called I'm Coming, Virginia. You may note, if you listen closely to the record, that Bix plays two choruses, not just one. And I got the impression from the very beginning, when I first heard it, that Bix was actually weaving a cloth or weaving lace. And he had a pattern to follow. And that pattern all came out exactly. Beautiful thing. And then he took it up again, and he went to the other side of the piece of lace, and he wove a little different pattern. And if you listen closely, you'll hear that at certain times he has some phrases that are very much alike the phrases on the first course, but he deviates in order to give you a special lift and to give the whole cloth a very beautiful texture. Now, see if I can think. Now, in the case of the jazz, what is it, Jasmine Ball?
Blue Jasmine Blues, or a jazz band ball.
In the case of the jazz band ball, which you may be hearing in a moment, I think in this case, this is Bix at his best in what I've always used, a little term, pyrotechnics or something. I invented the word for by use, that he actually climbed all over the tune and climbed all through it, and as far as keeping a great beat and keeping an excitement going, you couldn't relent from it. It was relentless, that's the best way to put it. That is probably his best exhibition. That's his best exhibition as a cornetist. I think also his chorus on Riverboat Shuffle that he made with Frankie Trombar. He made both of these records with Frankie. In the case of Riverboat Shuffle, he rewrote the tune for me. And he added some wonderful phrases, which I later incorporated into the piano copy. That's how good they were. Beautiful job.
In connection with what you just said, Phil has been visiting.
Big stories, but that's all right with me, I'll tell you.
Hey, John, are you going to ask questions?
If that's an easy way for you.
Well, you just want me to tell him?
Sit down.
I got a little laryngitis. I don't know about the voice, but
can you stretch your feet, or do you want to
tell your story? No, I'm fine, thanks. I don't have to sing, so here we go.
End of side A, end of tape.